Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I am Carolyn Scott, also known as the Healthy Voyager from HealthyVoyager.com. It is Thursday again, and it's time for a jam-packed hour of fun, info, and entertainment. Actually, it's more like educational entertainment. Edutainment. Nice, huh? Anyway, so today we're going to start with our sponsor. Today's show is brought to you by Golden Earth. Golden Earth offers a line of essential oil body care products that include fragrant blends, aromatherapy, bath gels and lotions, and unscented lotions as well. What makes their products unique is the 100% pure organic and wild-crafted essential oil blends that have been designed with the intention of wellness in mind. You can find out more about them and purchase Golden Earth products on their website at www.goldenearth.net. In addition, Golden Earth will be at the following event this Saturday. It's an event on the Santa Monica Promenade. I believe it's called To Your Health. So this Saturday, August 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the Santa Monica Promenade, stop by their booth. It's a fun outdoor exhibit that's going to stretch across two blocks of the promenade featuring health and wellness and eco exhibitors. So pop on over to the free event. Yes, it is a free event. So bring the kitties and go have a good time in the sun. And they will have lots of information. There's a lot of free giveaways, massages, and all kinds of goodies. So make sure you stop by the Golden Earth booth. And they've also given me a coupon code so that if you want to pop over to goldenearth.net, you can purchase any of your items for a 15% off discount. And that code is GENEX2009. So it's GENEX2009. Use that code, get 15% off. 15% off, and get some great essential oils. It's great for massages and massage therapists and sleep and help and spiritual stuff, and it's really, really great stuff. It smells good, too. All right, so today's show is going to be highlighting the role of health awareness in entertainment. From media to music, health has really become a popular topic. There's a multitude of websites and organizations and companies that are centering around health and well-being. Not to mention, the vegan movement has seen a ginormous change. Really, in the last 10 years that I've been vegan, at least, I've seen just an explosion from vegan fast food chains and menu items in regular restaurants. I'm always surprised to pop into like a Chili's or something like that and find something that is vegan, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. So yeah, it's great to be able to pop into those places, and you hear it on TV more than ever. I hear people talking about it, or there's a certain character on a show that might be vegan. I mean, there's even a cartoon about vegans. May not be the best possible light, but you know, we're getting out there. You know, just a decade ago when I wasn't in LA or in a major metropolitan area, if I said I was vegan, people looked at me like I had lobsters crawling out of my ears. So now I can be in the most remote place and have no problems getting what I need or even bumping into someone who is green or part of the veggie movement or, you know, something like that. Everyone knows what a vegan is now, pretty much. So, you know, entertainment has really played a major role in health and green and veggie. And there's just been such a great shift in consciousness. And I know that, you know, over the next few years, that's going to continue to happen. Health foods have a much less of a negative vibe as they did 20 years ago. It's no longer weird. It's not just for the new agey hippies that practice yoga and eat tofu and do all kinds of funny stuff and wear hemp. So it's actually been part of our daily lives and no longer a foreign type of stigma because of how cool it's been portrayed in pop culture. I mean, you can open any rag mag these days and see some young celebrity talking about, you know, their organic meal or, you know, having a chic vegan item on a menu, even though they may not be vegan, or toting their yoga mat somewhere and, you know, how they planted their herb garden and all that good stuff. And so many more actors and musicians, as well as others in the public eye, are promoting health and fitness and green living and even veganism. I know the list of veggies are growing larger and larger every day, so it's really, really exciting. Excuse me. Think about how health is weaseling its way into our TV programming and magazines, too. Like, The Biggest Loser is a huge hit. No pun intended. Celebrity Fit Club. I know that Ryan Seacrest's production company has paired up with Chef Jamie Oliver. And he is doing, I believe it's this fall, an extreme makeover type show where Jamie's going to be visiting the unhealthiest cities in America and trying to help them overhaul their ghastly ways in the kitchen. So it's no longer for the elite or the hippie community. It really has become a national and even global cause to get healthy, be vegan or have a special diet, you know, something like that. And that's another thing. Overall, people are becoming more and more aware of how food is affecting their bodies and really trying, even if it's a little bit, to implement healthier habits, from walking 20 minutes a day to a few times a week, drinking more water. And we're all learning a little bit more and taking an active role in our health. I know that with this awareness, the market has had no choice but to start offering up options for people like me who are vegan, or even increase in, you know, gluten-free diets, because that's become such a huge, I wouldn't say buzzword, but people are really starting to become aware about those kind of diets as well. So, you know, gluten-free diets really affect a lot of people. And, you know, why not? Should the market start offering stuff like that? It's a lucrative business, right? You know, like being able to order a vegan ice cream cake from Carvel, no less, for my birthday party this weekend. Yeah, vegan ice cream cake, very exciting. That was unheard of a few years ago. So, you know, back to special diet awareness. Celiacs and most autistic folks follow a gluten-free diet, and that's really gotten some great attention, media attention. And if you watched The Celebrity Apprentice on the first season, I know that Trace Adkins has a daughter who's anaphylactic, and he brought quite a bit of attention to her cause and his cause. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck from The View, she's affected by celiac disease and has been quite vocal about living gluten-free. Another is Jenny McCarthy, and how her son's autism has improved tremendously due to his gluten-free and dairy-free diet. Even the gossip shows like Extra, if you can believe that, have a spinoff show that's also a segment on their regular show called Life Changers, and it's all about health and medicine and its advances. And I've seen a good amount of holistic and vegan advocates and practitioners on that show. You know, they bring people like Kathy Fresenon and Dr. Campbell of the China Study. And I'm, you know, I was really tickled to see that they're doing that kind of programming. So kudos to them. So yeah, the media and our entertainers and our magazines and, you know, internet and all that stuff have really been wonderful vehicles to shedding light on health and special diets and causes. So it's been great to be able to share, you know, valuable and beneficial information in an entertaining fashion, because it really is just so relatable that way. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, right? So today we're going to be shining the spotlight on the media and the music worlds. Both guests have done, you know, quite well in crossing into the mass market because of how great their product is. You know, one is a popular magazine and the other is a rising star in the music world. Just some more examples of how our everyday entertainers can be chock full of information, inspiration, as well as a positive display on how far we've come in being able to mix our entertainment with some great messages and advice and more. So I'd like to welcome our first guests from the popular magazine Vegetarian Times, as they're celebrating their 35th anniversary of the publication this November. Editor-in-Chief Elizabeth Turner brings more than 15 years of food and health-focused magazine experience to Vegetarian Times. Prior to joining Vegetarian Times, she served as managing editor of Natural Health Magazine, where she specialized in nutrition and food coverage. She's worked on the staffs of Shape, Shape Cooks, Bon Appetit, and Teen Magazines as international managing editor at Wider Publications, directed the editorial launch and development of 14 local language editions of Shape, Natural Health, Fit Pregnancy, Men's Fitness in the United Kingdom, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Greece, Russia, Taiwan, and Pan-Latin America. And Ms. Jolia Sedona Allen is the associate editor and web editor of Vegetarian Times Magazine and VegetarianTimes.com, where she combines her lifelong love for both language and legumes. Since getting her MFA in poetry from the University of Florida, I didn't know she was a Floridian like me, and her BA in English from Boston University, she's penned oodles of articles for the Healthy Living mag such as Vegetarian Times and Veg News. and was the technical editor for the Complete Idiot's Guide to Organic Living, taught English at Santa Monica College, and wrote a 26-part web video series for NBC's PetSide.com. Her mantra, "You are what you eat," her mission, to use language to spread the word on health when she's not frantically typing away at her computer. Jolia spends time savoring life under the Southern California sun with her husband, Jordan, and Ned the cat. Now I have them on the phone.
Hi.
Hi. Elizabeth and Jolie, are you both there?
Hi.
Yes. Hi,
yes,
guys.
We are.
How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having us on.
Sure. Thanks for hopping on. So tell us a little bit more about Vegetarian Times.
Well, this is Elizabeth. As you mentioned, it's just about to be our 35th anniversary. I think people probably have seen Vegetarian Times in health food stores and bookstores over the years, but you might not know that it's a national magazine. It reaches, it has 250,000 readers every month.
Wow.
And, you know, we have sort of evolved over the years from, you know, a one-man band magazine that was invented by a nurse out of his apartment in the 70s to a, you know, very serious cooking magazine that's whole mission is really just about inspiring people to cook vegetarian every single day and, you know, be a little bit healthier about the way they eat and do it in sort of a gentle and exciting kind of way.
And delicious.
Yeah, delicious is right.
Yes, always delicious.
So 35 years. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And it got started by...
Yeah, there was this guy in Chicago named Paul Obis, and he was a full-time nurse. And, he, you know, he just happened to be in Chicago at the time when Frances Moore LePay wrote her book, Diet for a Small Planet. And, you know, it was just that time when people were thinking a lot about the planet and Vietnam and just being a little bit more aware and mindful about all of our impact on the world. And he decided to be vegetarian, and he sort of wanted to tap into this culture, and he wasn't quite sure how to do it, so he started this newsletter out of his apartment.
So,
and it started out as like a 4-page type newsletter, and he printed it. He made like 300 copies and passed them out for free at health food stores around Chicago.
Wow. And how long did it take to go from newsletter to an actual bound magazine?
I'm not sure exactly how long it took, but I know that by the 80s, it was, I don't know, it was like 60 pages.
What?
So it went from 4 pages to a real, like a 60-page magazine that mm-hmm. reached, you know, close to 100,000 people.
Well, that's really, really impressive to see it go from such a small personal, you know, endeavor to being around 35 years and being so successful.
Yeah, he was really, you know, he was really into it and curious and, you know, went to all the conventions and really reached out to people who are vegetarian, was really interested in finding out what people had to say about that.
Well, that's super cool. Well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back with Jolia and Elizabeth Turner from Vegetarian Times. Stay tuned.
I don't smoke just one brand, 'cause I get mine secondhand.
The facts are in. Secondhand smoke causes lung cancer in non-smokers. Remember, it's your life.
Ours too.
Secondhand smoke.
Secondhand smoke.
It'll make you choke. Well, that's secondhand smoke.
Help others breathe a little easier. This message from Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights.
You drink it? Cook with it? It's there every time you turn on the faucet. But what do you really know about your tap water? Do you know where it comes from or what's in it? You should, and now you can. Your water supplier will soon be sending you a short new report about your water. Look for it in the mail, and when it comes, read it. Don't let this chance to learn about your drinking water go down the drain. Learn more by calling your water supplier or 1-877-EPA-WATER.
Have you ever seen a pet wandering in the streets and found yourself unsure if you should pick it up? How would you help reunite it with its owner? Have you thought about adopting a pet but were unsure of where to go? Hi, I'm Shelley Faberet, here to tell you that now there's an easy answer to these questions as well as a lot more. It's called Pets 911. It's a free public service that enables anyone to access all the information that will help us take better care of our pets. By calling 1-888-PETS-911 or visiting the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org, you can learn how to locate a lost pet or list one that you found. It tells you where the closest adoption facility is, spaying and neutering services, emergency pet care, general health information, and much more. So please call 1-888-PETS-911 or visit the website at 1-888-PETS-911.org and do your part to help ensure a better future for our pets.
Healthcare Now. I'm Deborah Wetzel. Stroke can lead to severe impairments, including paralysis, memory loss, and speech or vision problems. What's more, surviving a stroke puts you at significant risk for suffering another stroke or a future heart attack. Dr. Mark Alberts is a professor of neurology at Northwestern University Medical School.
There are a number of things people can do to reduce their risk of having a recurrent stroke. A healthy lifestyle can make a big difference, and so does managing risk factors like diabetes, high blood pressure, and stopping smoking. Another way to reduce the risk of having another stroke or heart attack is to take blood thinners such as Plavix as prescribed by your doctor.
Stroke survivors need to work with their doctor to develop an individualized plan that may include lifestyle changes and appropriate medication to help reduce the risk of another stroke or heart attack. You can find out more by visiting www.plavix.com or calling 1-888-547-4079. I'm Deborah Wetzel.
Voyager Radio here on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with Julia Allen and Elizabeth Turner from Vegetarian Times. Are you guys there?
Hi.
In unison? Cool. So we'll pick up where we left off about how long the magazine's been in print. Was it a tough market, you think, 35 years ago to start something like Vegetarian Times?
I do think that it was tough for Paul, you know, being, you know, this one-man band producing the magazine at night and working full-time as a nurse by day. And actually, he sold the magazine after several years to a larger publishing company in New York and worked with that magazine for almost a decade, getting the magazine out, and then they eventually sold it back to him. So I do think it was hard, you know, for one person to put out a magazine, but at the same time, I think, and in Paul's own words, he says Vegetarian Times was simply an idea whose time had come. So, you know, at the same time, I think there was a real need at that time for the publication and a real audience for the publication during the 70s.
Right. So there wasn't really anything like it out there at the time.
Right, and you know, the 70s was really the decade when vegetarianism flowered in America. It was a time when food co-ops were first being formed and people were rediscovering or discovering whole foods. Also, tofu and other soy foods were being introduced to America at that time. As Liz mentioned, the publication of Francis Moore Lappe's Diet for a Small Planet was, you know, published in 1971. And for those of you who aren't familiar, that book illuminates the connection between environmentalism and vegetarianism. And so I think vegetarianism was, you know, really experiencing a exponential growth during that time, so the publication was, you know, fulfilling a real need and sort of riding the back of a larger, you know, wave.
Mm-hmm. So how, I know we mentioned earlier that it was a newsletter and, you know, somewhere in the 80s it became a real tangible magazine. How has the publication evolved in the last 35 years as far as the content?
Well, it's funny, you know, in the 70s it was more, I think it was more focused than it is now on animal rights, and less focused on cooking And then in the 80s, it's, you know, just as, you know, Paul Obus would even say that, you know, the 70s was the we generation, and then the 80s we kind of went more into the me generation, and people were really getting focused on health and starting to see how vegetarianism could fit into, you know, just the health and fitness trends of the time. So that was a decade where you saw a lot more celebrities on the cover, like Michael Jackson and Mr. Rogers and who else? Was Olivia Newton on our cover?
Wow.
I'm not sure. I know River Phoenix was on the cover.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, a lot of celebrities at that time were adopting a vegetarian diet and, you know, sort of going along with the idea of the me generation.
There's some pretty great covers.
Do you have an archive of all the cool old covers?
It's funny because, you know, as this magazine moved around, you know, as Paul Obus moved around, even he didn't even think he had a complete collection. We have a pretty good collection, and our collection is now on Google Books, so you can go and see a whole bunch of old issues on Google Books for free. So that's a pretty cool thing. They're not all there, and we actually went to eBay even to sort of recover some of our older issues as we could to get as complete a collection as we could so that we could digitize it. So it's not a perfect collection, but it's pretty close.
Well, hopefully there might be somebody listening out there that can fill in some
of the if anybody wants to send us magazines, we'll take them.
That'd be great.
And we'll be showcasing some of our favorite covers in the anniversary issue this November.
Very cool. I'm excited for that issue. So where do you see print media going, especially in this, you know, specialty market in the future? Have you seen a big change in print media?
Well, yeah, I mean, the print media is definitely suffering in the economy. And I think what's interesting is it's not so much the readership part that's suffering. It's more just, you know, advertising sales. It's a really tough market for that for all magazines. But niche magazines like Vegetarian Times are doing a lot better than more mainstream magazines. Mm-hmm. You know, just people are sort of reevaluating what they care about, and they're more willing to pay for, you know, something like, you know, the things that they care about. And the other category that seems to be doing relatively well is cooking. You know, people are just getting back to basics, cooking more at home. So we've actually grown over the last year.
Nice.
But publishing is sort of having a little bit of an identity crisis. And I don't think that it's going to, you know, I think that things are changing and we're sort of figuring out where they're going. But I don't see print coming to an end. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the web is going to get more and more important. And people love their magazines. I mean, you just can't. One of the cool things about our magazine is it's beautiful photography. I mean, we have photographers in France and the UK. We have photographers all around the world shooting our pictures. And that's something that you just want to hold in your hand and, you know, sort of relax and enjoy. You know, it's just not the same as going online and looking up a recipe. And there's definitely a place for that, too. But
yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's so much easier to just, you know, fold up your magazine, prop it up in the kitchen and have a recipe there. As well.
Or just lay on the couch and fantasize about how you're going to make something and maybe not make it, which I think a lot of people do.
Or on the plane. You know, even though now some planes are offering Wi-Fi, which is just crazy to think about. Wow, Wi-Fi in the air. But yeah, you know, people still like to flip through their magazines while they're waiting for a flight or something like that. So cool. What do you think makes you different from other specialty food or diet or lifestyle magazines?
Well, I think first and foremost, we're the only totally vegetarian culinary magazine. And that, you know, is number one. I think also, even though we're totally vegetarian, we're totally inclusive of a wider audience, and not, you know, we don't exclude anyone at all. In fact, half of our audience is not vegetarian, but just interested in cooking healthy vegetarian meals. And I think that's what really makes us, you know, most unique, is that we're able to spread the word on vegetarianism to that wider audience who's curious about vegetarianism in a way that's upbeat and, you know, and delicious. yeah, so, and you know, and then our food, you know, our recipes are just top-notch. And
I can attest to that. They're great.
we test all of our recipes. Today, for instance, in the office, we had one food, five ways cauliflower. So we got to try five dishes that starred cauliflower as the main ingredient. And, you know, oftentimes they don't pass. And, you know, sometimes they do. And we tweak them until they are perfect. So.
Nice. Good to know that you don't just slap up whatever on there and hope it tastes good.
It has to pass the test, and it's pretty interesting to see there's a pretty wide range of palates in this office.
Nice.
And it's not just the magazine staff either. You know, we have people from production and some accounting people come and taste.
Oh,
so
nice.
We definitely, and not everybody's vegetarian, you know.
Well, that's key. I always think that's a great barometer for taste when there's a non-veg trying veg food.
And we also really reach out to, you know, we have just the top chefs. I mean, we have recipes from Molly Katzen, but not so long ago we had recipes from a blogger that we really like named Lauren Ohm, who does veganyumyum.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to tap into the most interesting talent in terms of recipe development in the country.
That's great.
Yeah.
Another way that I think we really stand out is through indexing our recipes for other specialty diets, such as gluten-free or vegan or dairy-free. And so you can just flip to the back of the book as soon as it comes, and you'll find an index, and you can just turn to the pages, you know, which feature, you know, only gluten-free recipes, and that's, you know, really unique and a great service to gluten-free people on a gluten-free diet.
Absolutely. That is a great resource. So what do you think are your readers' favorite topics?
I think they like recipes. They like fast recipes. We have a department called 30 Minutes that has been around forever. Well, we even have a book now that's Vegetarian Times, Quick and Easy, that came out last year that was sort of a compendium of our 30-minute recipes. So that's a big one. And then they love Vegan Gourmet, which is something that's been around for, I don't know, about 8 years. They love that department. What's another? What are some other ones, Julia?
Ask the Doc, I think, is popular with Neil Barnard, who is a vegan MD, and he writes on a different subject every month, and it's always just the latest, you know, studies on nutrition and food and you know, how diet relates to health and disease.
He's really cool. He surprises us a lot. Like, we did a thing in the summer about hydration, and I've written and edited magazines for 15 years, and he wrote this thing about how you really probably don't need 8 glasses of water a day. And we were just floored. You know, we had never read that before. And so he's just sort of reveals things that are surprising. He debunks a lot of myths and just explains things, like explains the science of nutrition in an interesting way.
Awesome. So what do you, what does Vegetarian Times offer online?
Well, VegetarianTimes.com offers the largest collection of vegetarian recipes in the world. We have over 12,000 recipes, and they're all searchable, which is just an amazing, untappable, bottomless resource. Let's say you picked up, you know, some fresh cauliflower, for instance, at the market. You could just put in cauliflower. You could add search terms such as vegan or gluten-free. You could add, an ethnic cuisine or a holiday or lunch and search the recipes. We have online, you can sign up for our weekly recipe newsletters. So we have 4 weekly recipe newsletters, dairy-free and vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, and low-fat. Plus, we have a weekly MyVT newsletter, which is written by our food editor, Mary Margaret Chappell. We have an editor's blog where right now our market editor, Gabrielle Harding, is blogging about her vegetarian pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So there's an awesome series on the blog right now. It's called The Preg Veg, and she writes twice a week about different topics that relate to vegetarianism and pregnancy. We have different reader polls. So right now we have the Chef's Challenge contest and voting is open. So you can log on right now and vote for your favorite recipes from this year's graduating class of chefs from around the country. What else? We always have a Tell VT question. So we're always looking for readers to share with us, and right now we're asking what readers' favorite vegetarian cookbooks are, and we've got a long list that you can see what others have to say. And, of course, you can subscribe to the magazine online, and as well, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, we're there too, so look for Vegetarian Times.
Very cool. Yeah, that's vegetariantimes.com. They're also on Twitter at VegTimes, and then they're on Facebook, so definitely check them out. Really a wonderful resource. It was great having you on the show today. I'm really excited to see that 35th anniversary magazine. And the magazine is monthly, correct?
It's actually 9 times a year.
9 times a year.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, yeah, you can subscribe for the actual hard copy magazine or check them out online. They're a wonderful resource. Thanks so much for popping in. I look forward to seeing how much more you guys grow in the future.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Stay with us because after the break, we're going to have Naomi Streamer in studio to chat about her rising career as well as to play some of her tunes live.
You saved a life today.
I took 2 flood victims to a shelter.
I donated a day's pay to help a family that lost everything in a fire.
Have you saved a life today?
I teach a class in infant CPR.
I donated a pint of blood.
Have you saved a life today?
No.
But today somebody saved mine.
The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life. Please call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to offer your support.
Steve, safe tonight, sweet baby, play safe today. Nothing to harm you, baby, danger's far away.
Hi, this is Tom Paxton. You know, fluffy pillows and soft comforters may look harmless, but to a baby, soft bedding can be dangerous. Whether you put your baby to sleep in a playpen or crib, leave out the soft bedding like comforters, pillows, extra padding, and pillow-like toys. These could put your baby at risk for suffocation or SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Always put your baby to sleep on his or her back. And remember, the only soft touch your baby needs is you.
Sleep safe, play safe. Someday when you're grown, you'll have sleep safe, play safe. Babies of your own.
This has been a public service announcement from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Hi, this is Richard Karn with a message about how you can help protect the environment. Recycle your old rechargeable batteries. It's easy. The next time you need a new rechargeable battery for your cell phone, laptop computer, or cordless power tool, make sure you recycle the old one. To learn more about recycling rechargeable batteries, call me at 1-800-8-BATTERY. Or visit us on the web at rbrc.org.
A public service message of this station and RBRC.
Healthcare Now, I'm Ann Parks.
Does changing your eating habits help lower your cholesterol? Not necessarily. Miss Bonna Cole, executive director of Mended Hearts, a nonprofit group affiliated with the American Heart Association, says results of a recent Harris Interactive survey show just how little people knew about cholesterol.
77% of the respondents chose diet as the primary source of cholesterol. The primary source of cholesterol is our own bodies, and that is based on our family history. It's important to know all factors that impact our cholesterol health.
Dr. David Cohen, director of hepatology at Brigham and Women's Hospital, Harvard Medical School, says cholesterol is a killer.
High cholesterol today is a major threat to the American population. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in America, and high cholesterol is a well-established risk factor for cardiovascular disease.
To learn more about cholesterol, you can go to the American Heart Association's website at www.americanheart.org. I'm Ann Parks.
For tuning in to Healthy Voyager Radio on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I now welcome in studio a young lady whom Billboard magazine said recently, and I quote, Naomi Streamer will become the commanding diva of the decade. Well, we have that diva live in studio, and we're going to chat with her right after she plays one of her newest singles, Stay With Me. Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Streamer.
But you always remember me. You said you protected me. You said I needed to see. But
stay with me, I will, and pray.
Maui. Wow, wow. Did you know we could fit all those people in the studio?
I had no idea there was this very large live audience.
Yeah, full house, sold out.
You.
So, Naomi, first of all, thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you.
So, where are you from?
Well, this can get very confusing if you like connect the dots. This would be good. I grew up in Nova Scotia, Canada, which is far east above Maine, and I was born upstate New York. A little, like, not totally upstate New York, like an hour outside of New York City. So, and then I've just been all over the place since then. But 10 years on a little farm in Malagash in Nova Scotia, homeschooled, you know,
wow.
Running around the garden on my little dirt bike. It was awesome.
That is awesome. So tell us a little bit how you started singing and songwriting. How old were you when you did that?
You know, I was probably about 10 when I started writing classical piano pieces. I started, you know, taking classical piano when I was like 7. So then I started writing, and I would write out handwritten little note sheets. It was crazy. I was so talented back then. And if someone told me to do that now, I'd be like, And so then I started writing songs. You know, funny story. I was insulted into writing full, like, you know, pop songs or whatever when I was about 15. Someone told me I'd never make it in the music industry on my voice alone. And I was like, how dare you say that? They're like, you're going to have to start writing. And so I went home and I was like, I don't need to write. Big artists, there's tons of artists that don't write. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to show that it's just a choice. And if I wanted to, I could write. So I started writing songs out of spite. I'm very happy that person told me that because I love writing now.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So you started taking lessons classically.
Yeah.
And then the pop stuff, was that just kind of thrown at you? Or was it self-taught kind of like, or they just kind of gave you your material? Like, this is what you're going to sing, kid. Well,
no, I was, I'm so a little bullheaded little Canadian girl. I only heard classical and like Christian church music until I was 10. Never had heard the radio or watched TV or anything before then. So when I started listening to the radio, I was like, oh, this is a whole new world out there. And by the time I was 13, 14, I was just full on into pop music. And that's when I went into the studio and that person insulted me. That's I was like, whatever, I can do this. But I was obsessed with like, all, you know, Whitney and Ryan, Celine, and all those girls.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what inspires you to write? What do you mainly write about?
You know, it's really anything that emotionally affects me. So it can be personal, or it can be hearing a story, or I'll even read news pieces. I try to stay away from the news because I find it really depressing. But I don't want to think like evil of everyone. If I read the news all the time, that's what I would do. So news pieces, movies, sad movies, I'll like any movie. I'm so like any movie that makes me think past the movie, I'm like, oh, that was so worth the $12 because I'll probably get a song out of it. So, and then of course, any sort of emotional thing, that's always great. You know,
cool.
It just depends.
And is it kind of like a daily thing? Do you jot stuff down, or is it a process of like, I got to write like 4 songs right now, or something like that?
I can't stand it when it's like a set thing. Mm-hmm. Some, of course, you know, there's a lot of times when it is a set thing and you've got to sit down and write some music. But for me, it's more of, it's totally inspiration. Like, like 2 weekends ago, because I've been so busy this summer going around doing concerts and all kinds of stuff. I've not had time to just sit down and get in my own head, because that's usually when I'm isolated is when I get very creative and feel inspired. So 2 weekends ago, I was like, I feel it. I'm going to write a song. I can feel it coming. So like by Saturday night, I'm like, oh, I think tonight I could write. And then somebody distracted me and called me or something. And I was like, then Sunday night, I was like, it's here. It's here. I feel it. I've got inspiration. It's coming, you know. And then someone called me again. I was like, no. So I just have to wait till it comes again. I'll probably force myself to sit down because it's been like 2 months. But there'll be times when I write a song like every few days.
Awesome.
Yeah, it depends on, you know, how inspired I feel.
So you said you've been touring. Was it just the summer, or has it been a few years since you've been touring, like every summer? How's that been working?
This summer was pretty busy. I was in Canada, where I'm more, you know, known or whatnot, however you want to say it. And so I did shows all across there. It was a busy summer. This summer was pretty busy. The other ones just depends. Like either some summers I'm making a record, or some summers, I don't know. I'm always pretty much doing shows in the summer, actually, now that I think about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So I hear that you are vegan.
Yes, I am.
Yay!
Yay!
Is that tough when you're on tour, or is it tough being in this business as a vegan?
I say the tour one, the traveling, because living in LA, it's really easy. Mm-hmm. Every restaurant has lots of vegetarian or vegan options. Everyone's accommodating. I was just in BC last week. I got back 2 days ago. And I have to say I was really impressed because they were so accommodating. Like, I had a restaurant manager come out and make me a dish himself. I was shocked. I was like, you've got to be kidding. So that was good. But when I'm in places like Middle America or small towns, it's really difficult. People just look at you and they're like, what do you eat?
Yeah.
What do you eat? I'm
you
like, there's
thing.
So many things.
You know, if you think about it, there are only like four things we don't eat.
That's right. I know, you know. But people just get so bogged down. They're like, oh man, take the meat out and take the dairy out and there's nothing left.
Nothing.
And you're like, really? Have you been in a garden lately or a green area or, you know?
Have you ever had just spaghetti or some
exactly.
rice?
You know? I know. I'm like, there's nuts, there's grains, there's fruits, vegetables, you know.
Yep.
It's like the whole array.
Well, that's awesome. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break and we'll hear a little bit more about you and get some information on your shows and your albums. And you're going to play us another song towards the end of the show, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, we'll be right back.
Road Rage Crisis Line.
I feel so depressed.
Oh, it's not as dark as it may seem.
But I'm always being pushed down.
You know, recognizing the problem is the first step.
Oh, I recognize the problem. He's always late.
I see.
And I never move fast enough for him. But what can I do? I'm just a gas pedal.
So, he exceeds the speed limit?
Exceeds the speed limit? He runs red lights, he races around other drivers, and then he yells if he thinks they're going too slow.
Well, maybe it's time to start putting your foot down.
Well, maybe it's time he stopped putting his foot down.
An overworked gas pedal might sound crazy, but putting your life at risk by whipping through traffic and running lights is just plain insane. Think about it and ease up on aggressive driving.
If he keeps pushing me at this pace, I'm bound to run out of gas.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Keep your cool and put the brakes on road rage.
This message was brought to you by your friends at AdrenalineRadio.com. Log on, then call. AdrenalineRadio.com.
Your financial fitness. I'm Deborah Wetzel. It's no secret that money matters can put a stress on a relationship, but there are steps you can take to relieve tensions related to the daily grind of managing finances. The amount of money in your bank account is not always as important as your financial management skills, says Candace Barr from the Women's Institute for Financial Education.
Every couple should take the time to get to know one another's financial personalities and be prepared to make changes based on your new financial goals. Discuss everything from budget setting to payment cards, which increasingly play a bigger role in how people manage and track their personal finances. And the great news is you don't have to go it alone. You can find a wealth of information and free downloadable budgeting tools on practicalmoneyskills.com, a website developed by Visa.
Barr also reminds us that there's no one right way to manage your finances. It's just important to know your options and keep an open dialogue with your partner. I'm Deborah Wetzel.
Homework, soccer, part-time jobs, the internet. Are you and your busy kids forgetting something? Don't forget music. Hi, this is Faith Hill. Music study is one of the most valuable ways a student can spend time. Time spent in practicing and studying music reinforces teamwork, communication skills, self-discipline, and creativity. All the qualities kids need to be successful in their schoolwork and in society. Let your kids know that music is a whole lot more than what they hear on the radio. And the more they learn about it, the more they'll enjoy listening to their favorite tunes. Then maybe they can explain to you why they think it's so cool. Hey, turn off the TV and play music with your kids.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Healthy Voyager Radio with songstress Naomi Streamer on AM 1680 KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. So, Miss Naomi, tell us where we can find out a little more about you, where to get your album, maybe some upcoming shows.
Absolutely. You can, probably the easiest is myspace.com/Naomi. Doesn't get much easier than that. Cool. There's also NaomiStreamerMusic.com. Streamer can be tricky to spell. Mm-hmm. It's S-T-R-I-E. So if you have trouble, just go to Google and type in whatever spelling you think it is, and Google will set you straight. I'm also on Facebook. So shows are listed on all of those things, more so the MySpace and the official website. And you can hear music. You can get music now on iTunes, which is very exciting. If you want a physical, like, actual CD, cdbaby.com. And then, you know, for other listeners who do Pure Tracks, I actually have the number one record in Canada on Pure Tracks.
Wow.
Right now.
Congrats.
Yay. I'm so excited. I'm like, this is a number one record in Canada. It's great.
I have, like, a for reals star in here.
So it's very exciting. So lots of places to get music or get more information or just send me an email. I love getting emails.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. What's your next show?
Well, I think that, you know, I don't know when my next show in LA is. Mm-hmm. I do know I've got a bunch of stuff coming up in Alberta, Canada, BC, and
cool.
Ontario. Yeah, Canada just hogs all the Naomi
We're
attention.
We're going to have to steal you back here so people can come see you. But, you know, the show is international.
Yes.
Because you can hear it online.
Oh, good.
So I'm sure there's some northern friends of ours that are listening. So.
Yay.
They will come see you. So cool.
Excellent.
So thanks so much, Naomi. You're going to be playing us another song at the end of the show, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. All right, so make sure you visit vegetariantimes.com to check out all of their great tips and recipes, and also to get your subscription for their monthly publication, or their 9 months out of the year publication. You can also follow them on Twitter at VegTimes, as well as on Facebook. Just look up Vegetarian Times, and you can friend them there. Also, wish them a very happy 35th anniversary coming up soon. And be sure to visit Naomi's webpage for info, downloads, tour dates, and more. I looked her up. It's NaomiStreamerMusic.com. And Streamer is S-T-R-I-E-M-E-R. NaomiStreamerMusic.com. You can also find her on MySpace, like she mentioned, /Naomi, Facebook, and Twitter. So hit her up. Go see some of her shows. Buy her music. As for Healthy Voyager, again, you can always follow me on Twitter. I'm Healthy Voyager. Facebook as well. I've got a fan page and a group page. MySpace, YouTube, bunch of other stuff. Also, as always, healthyvoyager.com, and visit the social networking site, healthyvoyagerpassportpals.ning.com, and you can share your own travel stories and recipes and photos and mingle with other health-minded globetrotters. And I do respond to all of my tweets and my emails, and I love connecting and collaborating with people, so don't hesitate to contact me on any of those interweb areas. And you can also email me at carolyn@healthyvoyager.com for guest or sponsor information. I'm always looking for cool people and places and products and things to discover and promote on the show, since it is an overall health show, from financial health to career health to fitness and veganism and all that stuff. Everything health, life health, green health. So again, I'd like to thank Julia Allen and Elizabeth Turner from Vegetarian Times, as well as Miss Naomi Streamer, for coming on today. Please do check them out at VegetarianTimes.com and NaomiStreamerMusic.com or MySpace/Naomi. Tune in to AM 1680 KDSV here in LA, as well as AdrenalineRadio.com or AdviceRadio.com next Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, where I will have eco-designer Anna Mkhitaryan of Anitarian Eco-Effective Design in studio, talking about her gorgeous eco-couture, as well as her Peace, Love, Earth line. Her new Seven Wishes bracelet is awesome. You have to run out and get them. They're super cute. And Jen Bolden, she's the co-founder of IdealBite.com, so check that out. It's an Eco Green Thursday next week. Check out the podcast of today as well as past shows on healthyvoyager.com or on iTunes. So here is another great song Miss Naomi is going to sing for us, called Fall Behind, off of her Green album. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you all again next week. Have a healthy one.
What's happening? I feel the ground beneath my feet. I feel the world slipping apart before my eyes. It's not safe here anymore. Will we never be the same again? This confusion's been setting in. When there's no place left to land, where do I follow you, and why can't I find you here? Don't let me fall behind.
When I was president, the world succeeded in one of the most remarkable public health efforts ever achieved, wiping out the dreaded smallpox disease. Today, we face a new global epidemic that is positioned to become even more widespread than smallpox. That disease is diabetes. Just as we came together to defeat smallpox, we must come together to confront the global epidemic of diabetes. Diabetes affects more than 21 million children and adults in the United States alone. And if nothing is done to stem the tide, one in three Americans born in the year 2000 will develop diabetes in their lifetime. The health of our nation is at stake. I have decided to do my part to fight diabetes, and I encourage you to get involved today.